97.5 The Fanatic.
What's going on, y'all? 97.5 The Fanatic, 601, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. I'm Devon Givens with you until 10 o'clock this evening. Joe Torti will be in at 8. We will share those hours, the crossover, right here on The Fanatic. Connor Thomas producing the show. We're going to have a little fun. Sixers pick up the win last night, and a spectacular win. I mean, like I said, I wasn't going to get carried away with what they did, but you cannot deny that it was a good win going into the All-Star break, making sure that they handled their business going into the break and, you know, on a high note. No loss, no losses, on a high note. Three in a row. Yes, they were at home, but guess what? They needed those three at home to go into the All-Star break feeling good about themselves, winning 110-103 against the Los Angeles Clipers. Sixers right now 34-21 on the season. I still look at that, and I'm so disappointed at the fact that they are 34-21, where they should be so much better, right? So much better. So much better. And it is what it is. 27 games left, 14 at home, 13 on the road. They have to get busy in the second half of this season now after the All-Star break, even though we know it's way past 41. So we look at this. Connor and I were talking about this. We were talking to Josh Rabick in the back about this. I just ran this to Tyrone before we turn things on here, turn the mic on to get started. I want to ask you about this with the Sixers. You know, if you want to get in and continue to talk about what you saw last night, the adjustments with Al Horford coming off the bench, Furkan Korkmaz starting, doesn't mean he's going to start going forward. Doesn't mean that Horford is going to stay on the bench going forward. But if they do, keep Horford on the bench. If you feel like maybe it'll be Horford, it may be Glenn Robinson in the third, Matisse Thybulle, whatever you feel, we'll talk about that. But I want to ask you guys this to start things off, because as we talked about this and looked at this, now with 8 days off, the 9th day, they are back on the floor on the 20th, facing the Brooklyn Nets here in Philadelphia for their four-game homestand that they have before they go back on the road, taking on Milwaukee on that Saturday, the 22nd. I want to ask you a series of things in regards to the season, the first part of the season, with the 55 games. 55 games in the books at 34-21, 25-2 at home, 9-19 on the road. You guys know all of those numbers. They have won their last three. They're 5-5 in their last 10. But I want to ask you this to start things off. A couple of questions. Again, series of questions that I'm going to give you all of them, and then you just run them in and let us know how you feel about these particular things. And it's similar to what we do with the Eagles, and we've done it for the Sixers before, and we've done our sessions for the Sixers when we're frustrated about the team. But once again, a good win last night, a very entertaining game overall, doing what they did against the Los Angeles Clippers and Paul George shutting him down, Kawhi Leonard getting 30. There's nothing you can do about that. Lou Williams having himself an okay night, the same with Landry Shamet off the bench with his 19. But Sixers came out on top, 34-21, 55 in the books, two behind the Miami Heat for the fourth spot, and now four games behind the Boston Celtics after their loss last night on the road at the Houston Rockets. So here's what I want to ask you guys. And tonight, we'll let you know real fast, Milwaukee and Indiana play. That'll also help the Sixers. You expect Milwaukee to continue to win. Milwaukee knocks off Indiana. They will be a full three games behind the Philadelphia 76ers, who are done for the season, for the first part of the season. Indiana with this game yet to be played. Toronto in action as taking on the Brooklyn Nets, and Miami takes on Utah minus Jimmy Butler. So there's a chance that the 76ers can inch a little bit closer, half a game more behind the Miami Heat, which would leave them at 1.5 games behind the Heat when the night ends. So looking at things as you flash back to last night in the 110-103 victory, I'm going to ask you a couple of things. The biggest positive that you took away from this team at 34-21, and you say, hey, all of these questions that we've had, all of these frustrations that we've talked about, the strong conversations that we had, trading this player, firing that coach, and crushing the general manager, and all of these things, they're still in the playoffs, and they are 34-21. I don't like it. Just like you do not like it. But that's where they are. They still have 34 wins through 55. So what's the biggest positive? And I will say this, and as again, talking to Tyrone, Josh, and Connor about this, and I agree with Tyrone right off the bat. The biggest positive of everything that has come out is the play as of late of Ben Simmons. When Joel Embiid was out, again, the first game of the season, tremendous, best player on the floor against the Boston Celtics, where he put up the 24, led them to that win, season opener and home opener to start things off. Phenomenal game. Then he had a little bit of a rough stretch, even though they were 5-0 to start. He had the injury to the shoulder. That could have been some of the thing. Not making an excuse. It was just a fact that he had an injury to the shoulder that made him miss that some time. So I would say Ben Simmons, with how he has performed over the last couple of weeks, with what he has done on the floor when Embiid was out, he was the number one option. He still put up his assist numbers, still got the rebounds and everything. But, well, when he also had those opportunities to get to the free throw line, knocking down those free throws, being aggressive, going to the basket, not being afraid of absorbing that contact, still doing the other Ben Simmons things where he's passing the ball around the perimeter, on the low block, his defensive play all around all season long. He's an all-NBA defender so far this season, in my opinion. I'm sure others agree with that as well. So right away, that would be my biggest positive to take away from Ben Simmons, because he can still elevate his game and be even better than we've seen thus far. That has helped him get to the All-Star game for his second consecutive season. This time around, he'll be playing on Sunday. Biggest disappointment. I agree with Tyrone here. And not really because it's just him. I think the entire situation around and revolving around him. And who is him? I think we would all agree. Al Horford and his play with the team. The contract is what the contract is. It's not going anywhere unless he goes somewhere and he takes that contract with him. But the disappointment of, for me, not just him, but also the coaching staff, not figuring out the right way to use him within the structure of the offense for this basketball team. And I think they have failed in that regard. Now, you might say, no, it goes all the way back to July when you signed him. That was the failure right there. And that is what we're looking at, the result of what you people felt, the ones that did not want to sign him, that this would be the result anyway when you signed and brought on Al Horford to become this big monster team to go up against big bad Milwaukee led by Giannis and Antetokounmpo. So I'll go there. Third, what's the biggest expectation you have for this team in the second half of the season? They're sitting in the fifth spot. It seems like it's very difficult to even get to the number two spot, where you are now looking at 7.5 games behind the Toronto Raptors, who have won 15 games in a row. I talked about it with the Sixers. The biggest streak that I remember is 5 for this basketball team, and that was the 5-0 start that they had to get the 2019-20 campaign underway. Toronto has run off a great streak. Boston has run off, I remember, 10 in a row after losing to the Sixers on opening night. Toronto has this 15-game winning streak. We know Milwaukee continues to have their streaks. Miami as well. Where's the Sixers' streak? Where's theirs? I just heard Mike and Ty run off the schedule after the break talking about 11 in a row. I welcome that. It's their turn. Get it done. So my expectation for the second half of the season, to be perfectly honest with you, it could be a player. It could be anything. Buyout, pickup, whatever you might feel, that's what the biggest expectation is for you, is to have an above 500 road record for this basketball team. They have 13 games remaining on the road, 14 at home. I need way better than what they've given us so far, 9-19 on the road. That is, if Al Horford wasn't my biggest disappointment, that is my biggest disappointment. The road record by this basketball team. So my expectation is to be way better on the road than we've seen thus far from this basketball team. So that's where we're going to start. Biggest positive to start the season for me, Ben Simmons. Biggest disappointment through 55, Al Horford and his lack of play offensively with the team, but not just him by himself. It's with the coaching staff as well. And you can even incorporate his teammates, because I do know that Joel Embiid can be a selfish player out there, and some of that stuff just gets in the way of what Al Horford also needs to do in order to get his touches and put up his numbers, which are not huge. 17 a night. He'll give you like 12 to 15 a night as Golden's. All good. He has not been great. So that's the disappointment, and my expectation to have a much, much better over 500 record with 13 games remaining on the road for this basketball team to pick up those W's in that left column, to limit those on the right column with those L's, and possibly, guys and gals, jump up from that fifth spot into maybe that four or three spot in the Eastern Conference. Because it's going to be tough to catch, obviously, Milwaukee. The same for the Toronto Raptors. But you want to stave off the Indiana Pacers, who are starting to fade a little bit, losing six in a row, trying to fit Victor Oladipo in with what they were doing that was working. And it looks like he has come in and kind of, you know, put a little monkey wrench in that right now. And that only bodes well for the 76ers. But you're probably going to be in that 4-5 area. You would prefer to have the home court advantage against the Miami Heat versus starting on the road in Miami with that team. So those are mine. We'll hear from Connor Thomas as we go along. Joe Torti in at 8. We want to start off with you guys with this basketball team. Your biggest positive, your biggest disappointment, and your expectation for the second half of the season with your Philadelphia 76ers at 34-21 right now, 55 in the books, 27 remaining, 14 at home, 13 on the road. They're not going to lose all of them on the road, just like they're not going to win all 14 on the road. What do you have? What do you guys have? 610-632-0975. The 6 o'clock hour is brought to you by Family and Company Jewelers. Visit them on Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey, or at familyjewelers.com, south of Jersey's diamond destination. Once again, 610-632-0975. And we'll get to something I want to ask you guys about the All-Star break as well, simply because I'm not going to be on for the rest of the week. Thursday or Friday, All-Star weekend is this weekend, so I'll ask you guys a question about that as well, because today is the anniversary of the best, in my opinion, dunk contest. Vince Carter, Tracy McGrady. Was Steve Francis in that one? I think Steve Francis was in that one. But it didn't matter, because Vince Carter put on the best show that I've ever seen in the dunk contest. And I remember the Dominique Michael Jordan one, the most recent with Aaron Gordon and Zach LaVine, Jason Richardson, and his performance. Vince Carter, by far from me, the best I've ever seen. You can even get into a shootout where you say, remember when Larry Bird did this in the three-point contest? That was the best one for me. But we'll get into that as we go along. We'll start off with the Sixers. 610-632-0975. We go to Manny Young with Glenn. I'm Devon Givens. Connor Thomas producing. Again, Joe Torti, he will be in at 8 o'clock. We'll go to 10 o'clock together right here on The Fanatic. Let's start off with Glenn and Manny Young right here on 97.5. What's up, Glenn?
Hey, good evening. Oh, my God. That slam dunk contest. My wife was behind me, and she was in the room while the game, while it was on. And I'll never forget, Vince Carter did, I forget which dunk it was, but she went, ooh. And my wife never does that. And she sat down and said, I need to watch this. It was the best slam dunk I've ever seen out of all of them. Vince Sanity was in full effect that day, brother. So kudos to you. I agree. We're on the same page.
Yeah, that was my favorite one, man.
Real quick, I'll get to all your points. I didn't think individually. I was just thinking collectively.
That's okay.
Collectively, my biggest disappointment has been consistency. I never know what team is going to show up. That's my biggest disappointment with this team since this whole process thing started. I never know who's going to show up this year more than ever. I'm still uncertain every night. Games I've gone to, games I tune into, I never know what we're going to get. Like a box of chocolates, man. So and that's my disappointment.
The weird part of that is the fact that there's totally different teams, as you said, one home, one away.
There you go. I will say this, though. You had an interesting question about my improvement thing. I didn't think of individually. But I like what Matisse Thybulle has brought to the team, because I think his attitude on defense is what's sparking Ben and others to play that way and to extend themselves more. So that's what I'm looking at. And as far as what I'm expecting, I just want consistency. I expect now, after the All-Star break, injured players are back. We've got a new lineup now. I want to start seeing them start to gel. The playoffs are coming. I don't know what seed we're going to get. You laid out some great scenarios. But we both know playoffs are different. And now we got to figure out who's going to be the starting five, what the rotations are going to be. So I need to start seeing some consistency. That's mine.
That's a great one, man. Listen, thanks so much, Glenn. Starting things off for us. Consistency to start off. That's what he's looking for the expectation in the second half of the season. And you know what? He's absolutely right. Because once again, it goes to the whole thing of being on the road versus being at home, and the two different teams that they are, the Jekyll and Hyde of this basketball team. It's so mind-boggling that they are the way they are so far on this season. It's just ridiculous looking at how they're totally... They're the same people. The same people. I know it's kind of easier, but you've heard in the past with plenty of players in all sports to say, you know what, we like going on the road because there's less pressure. It's just us. It's us and whoever may have traveled to us, I mean, to with us to watch these games and to follow and support us wherever we go. And these guys, 9-19. 9-19. They are on the road. Absurd. Seriously. Really, really absurd that they are 9-19. How do they fix this? And you just look at it and you say it's a mental thing. It's a mental thing when it comes to them. And why can they not get out of their own way? Why can they not? They've been on the road plenty. They've played in a playoff and won road games. They won in Toronto in game two last playoffs. They won in Brooklyn, a tough environment because, not the tough environment because of the building in general, but the building gets into it, the fans, when their team is playing well. And the Brooklyn Nets play the 76ers well. What is their problem on the road? The only thing I can think of is, again, that's the mental toughness that they're lacking when they're away from Philadelphia. Why? Why? How? 610-632-0975. Back to the phones we go. Dr. Jim. Oh, my man in Mount Laurel. What's up, Dr. Jim?
Yo, D Money. How's the brother?
Oh, man. How you doing, man?
And I'm doing it. I'm doing it one day at a time, but we're making it happen.
Keep doing it.
Making it happen. Turned you on, and you're talking about those Sixers, so I said, let me give the other doctor a basketball call.
Oh, man, come on.
I'll start first with, you know, I think you said one of your disappointments was Horford and his lack of scoring.
It's really the fit and, you know, how they haven't been able to figure out his role with the offense.
Well, then I agree with you that on that in the fit. When they signed him as a free agent, I wasn't looking for him to be a scorer. I was looking for him to be lockdown defender like he locked down Joel. I was looking for him to lock down the Greek Freak. I was looking for him to bring veteran leadership. I wasn't really looking for him to score a whole bunch of points, but he does look lost, so I agree with you on that.
Yeah, yeah.
But my biggest disappointment up to now, I guess I would call it four bounces and a lady. If you remember against Toronto, when we lost those four bounces, and then after the game, we had Embiid crying to his girl.
Yep.
Okay? Based on that, I thought he was going to come out and be lights out this year. Not regress. Not live at the top of the key. Not bring it all the time. Not get hurt again like he always. That's my biggest disappointment. I thought he was going to crush it. I really did. So that's mine. That's my biggest highlight is what's happening of late with Ben finding out how to shoot foul shots and him attacking the basket. So my highlight has not been sustained. It's been of late. But if he keeps it up, then that will be my highlight for the season. Your thoughts?
Well, I hope he does keep it up because the free throw percentage and the consistency shooting from the free throw line and not being afraid to take on that contact at the end of the games as well is a positive for this team going into the second half, Dr. Jim, because that you don't have to worry about him if he is knocking those free throws down, just being the inbounder and running away from the basketball and trying to find everyone else who is a good free throw shooter with what he is doing and elevating his confidence at the free throw line. That could be an added bonus for this team going forward, especially in the playoffs, man, where they might need that him to be able to knock down those freebies for his team. So I agree with you, man, with his play. And thanks so much, man. I'll definitely talk to you soon, man. Really appreciate you checking in with us. That's a big thing for me, because like we've always talked about with Ben, where I'm a big fan of Ben Simmons, critical of him because I am a fan of what he does on the floor, because I think he can be better than what he has shown. The free throw percentage, I've said it. He's not going to knock down the jumper. I'm not going to talk about it because he's not going to do it. Give me 70% from the free throw line. That will negate all of that other stuff that we're talking about with the jump shooting, with the lack of jump shooting. There's a good chance that he's not going to shoot at a high percentage taking jumpers anyway. I still want him to do it, but if he's not, stay aggressive, get to the rack, take on that contact, hopefully get some and ones, knock down your free throw, and continue to go back the other way and play your stellar defense all NBA level. That's what I'm asking for. I'm not asking for a lot. 610-632-0975. So that's how we're starting things off. Connor Thomas producing the show. I'm Devon Givens. Starting things off with the 76ers after the first half of the season. 34-21, 55 games in the books, 27 after the All-Star break, starting back here on the 20th against the Brooklyn Nets, a Thursday night at 8 o'clock right here on the Fanatic, of course. Get a little breather from basketball as the All-Star weekend is upon us starting on Friday. So we're asking for your biggest positive, biggest disappointment, your expectation for the second half of the season. 610-632-0975. When we come back, I'll share with the All-Star thing I want to ask you guys about. I already teased it enough, so it'll be simple. Devon Givens right here with Until 10 on The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
630, 97.5, The Fanatic. Devon Givens with you until 10 o'clock. Joe Torti will join us at 8. We'll share the 8 and 9 o'clock hours together. Then Joe will run solo along with Connor Thomas here on The Fanatic. 610-632-0975. Asking for your biggest positive, your biggest disappointment, expectation for the second half of the season. You don't have to run off all three because we know it takes some time. So if you wanted to choose one, have at it. 610-632-0975. So, the All-Star thing, briefly, before we get to Arnold, Corey, Bruce, Peter, and everybody else, 610-632-0975. Asking you guys about this because, once again, it's the anniversary, 20 years anniversary of Vince Carter and his dunk contest where he just put on a great show and every dunk was crazy. The one that gets the least amount of attention is the one where he went up and put his... No, it's two of them, to be honest with you. The one where he went up and put his arm in the rim, and he's hanging from his forearm elbow deep into the rim, where everybody's like, well, that's not that great. Yes, it is. Who does that? Then the other one that also gets a little bit left off is when he jumped from the free throw line. You're like, Devon, he jumped from the free throw line. We see that all the time. Not with two hands. Yes, great dunk contest memory, All-Star weekend. That is by far my favorite. I have others that stand out. I don't want to take any away from everyone else since the All-Star weekend is this weekend. Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, both participants in the All-Star game on Sunday. I always love when the guys from our team is representing in the All-Star, whether it's hockey, baseball, basketball. It's cool when they're voted in or nominated for the Pro Bowl, but we don't watch it anymore. It's not the same. But But it's always cool to see everybody in there. But your favorite memory from the entire weekend of All-Star Weekend. It could be anyone. It could be the game, the dunk, three-pointer, skills challenge. I don't know. Whatever it might be, give us your favorite all-time All-Star Weekend memory. I'll give my other one real fast. I'm going to steal this one. When Allen went off in D.C., what was that, 2001 when they went to the NBA Finals? When Allen went off in D.C., won the MVP. That's when remember the storybook season. They started off 10-0. I remember the 10th game, I think it was, when they went 10-0. No, they beat the Knicks to start the season off, and they ran 10 in a row to get things rolling. And we know about the trade, 41-14, sending Theo Ratliff to Atlanta for Dikembe Mutombo. The other one that people forget in that one that I always talk about, Tony Kukoc, which could have helped in that NBA Finals because of his experience and his skill set overall. And that season, of course, we all remember it, but I remember as well, hey, Allen winning the All-Star MVP. So let's do that as well. 610-632-0975. We go to Arnold and Yaden next on The Fanatic. What's up, Arnold?
My guy, Devon, what's going on, man?
What's happening, man? How you feeling, man?
I wanted to speak to you yesterday. I walked by, you was on the broadcast, but you were in the middle of a segment, so I just gave you a little wave. But
I appreciate that.
You're killing me with your last thing. I was going to say AI in 01.
that's okay. My favorite. You take it.
Listen, I remember because I was a senior in high school, and I remember that all around that time, they played the Lakers on Valentine's Day. I remember I went. And then the All-Star game, this dude went off that year.
He was on a roll, wasn't he?
He was killing it, man. So that was definitely my memory.
Remember that shot he made as he was going out of bounds, and he kind of flicked it with the right hand? And the fake alley-oop where Vince Carter thought he was ooping it to him, and he threw it under his arm. And, man.
He was showing off.
Yes, he was. That's what the All-Star game is all about.
Exactly. But to the Sixers, mm-hmm. I will say that, you know, briefly, I mean, there's a lot that we can kind of celebrate about the team, like small wins. I think Ben's defense took a step, him being primary defenders, even the job he did yesterday, even though Kawhi is a monster. I mean, you know, on Kawhi and even on Paul George, there are moments where you see Ben is just an elite defender, man. So I'll say that I'm definitely, that's a positive for the team. But when you think about this team, I've heard it said all the time, role players play well at home, right? You hear it all the time. So that's why from a role player like a Korkmaz or even from a Richardson, you can kind of expect that they're going to have games where they can go off. They're going to give you 17 in the fourth, or they're going to give you the 32 points like Korkmaz every now and then, because even the 12th man on an NBA team is good. But I'm disappointed because this team plays like they're all role players. Every championship team, there are some players you just got to bank on every night they're going to bring it. And I don't see that dog mentality from this team every single night. Not even like a home and away thing. Yeah, that's been well documented. But every single night, I don't see that Ben that I saw last night. I don't see that from Embiid. I don't see that from Tobias every single night. They play like they're good role players instead of star franchise players. And that's my biggest disappointment with these guys.
Well, let me ask you this then. Do they have a dog?
They getting paid like dogs. I'll tell you that. I know that doesn't, and maybe that's the thing. Maybe they just don't have that they had a dog last year in Jimmy. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Like Jimmy was a dog.
Absolutely.
But I don't know if they have that this year, but they can't win a chip without it. So somebody's got to be a dog.
Well, listen, man, you're right about that. We want to see that physicality where it doesn't get in the way of what they're doing on the floor in a negative way. We want to see it in a positive way and carry over as well. Hey, man, thanks so much for the call, Arnold. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon. And we already know they missed that type. Even J.J. Redick, who may not be a dog in the sense of Jimmy Butler and how he does it, his attitude, it wasn't an attitude of I'm better than everybody else and all this. It's no. I have an attitude of I want to win, and I will do whatever it takes to win. When I miss a shot, I'm mad. When I make a bad defensive play, I'm upset. When I miss my defensive assignment because hey, I'm not a very good defender, but I'm busting my butt to try to get from over top of this screen and get to where I need to be, I'm mad at myself. We don't see that a lot. I see it from Josh Richardson. I see it from Matisse Thybulle, honestly. I do see it from Mike Scott from time to time. I mean, he just does. You just see it. He'll you know, he'll slap his hand like, dang, my bad, you know, all that. And we know he's not a great defender. He is who he is. He's an outside shooter at this point, a screen setter, and somebody who's part of the rotation. Other than that, you don't really see it that much from the others. Tobias Harris from time to time, you'll see where he'll be like, my bad, or something. You can see the frustration in his face. But that dog that Jimmy Butler was, man, they do miss that. They miss that. Can someone, Josh Richardson showed you that last night. When he went off for that 17 in the second half, remember he made the play and he got fouled and won the layup. Kawhi Leonard fouled him, laid him up with the lefty. Walking in, you know, the momentum took him into the stands, the crowd, and he was, you know, everything just flexing and all that stuff. That's him. When everybody else does it, you're like, all right, that looks cool. It's, you know, it looks cool. Ben, you look cool when you flex. But that emotion, that type of thing, that's what Josh Richardson is. And maybe we'll see it a little more as we go along and they get comfortable with one another as the season progresses. 610-632-0975. Corey in Philly next on the Fanatic. What's up, Corey?
Hey, what's going on?
Oh, not a lot, man. 55 games in the books, 34-21. What you thinking?
I think that, one, to touch on the dog statement, I think that Embiid had some dog in him. I think that Ben had some dogs in him, but he gets frazzled easily when things aren't going his way, and Embiid as well. So what they're missing is an emotional leader. I think they need that veteran presence, someone that's going to stand and be a leader. The obvious is, you know, Brett Brown has not done well making games, like adjustments down the stretch, especially in the playoffs. Talent can get you to the playoffs, but when it comes down to it, you need a solid head coach to be the leader to pull the guys together. You need a coach to have these guys, to hold guys accountable. Also, Ben is bringing the ball down, pass the ball, and then he goes run off, sets the pick from B to hit the three. I mean, that's all coaching. These are the things that are keeping us, like, stagnant from, like, actually excelling. We have the talent. We just don't have the coaching to get us to the next level. The other thing is I think that Ben should be playing in the four spot. Now, a lot of people don't like to hear that, but here's the thing. When Ben plays in that four spot, he presents a big mismatch for whichever big man is sticking him. Now, he can dribble the ball, and he's a lot more agile versus a bigger man. And because he has good court vision, now he makes the necessary adjustments. Anytime you see Ben getting off, he's getting off around the baseline. It's when he's running the break, on the fast break, attacking the basket, things like that. I think he could bring a new dynamic to the floor position. He has the size. He has the talent to do it. I think if he was in that four spot, you would see a lot more open up for Embiid and everybody else, because the defense is going to collect. They're going to have to help out whatever big man is sticking them, and he has the court vision to make the correct passes. I think that right there would give that offense a new look. His defense is decent enough to be able to stick a big man. And on top of that, in this league today, they don't really utilize the big man, and most big men want to shoot out on the perimeter. So I think it would be ideal for them if he was in that four spot, because he would be someone that could help out and cause a lot of problems.
All right, well, if that's the case, who's initiating the offense from the top?
Well, I mean, I think the guards that we have are capable of doing that now. I mean, because if you look at most of the plays where Ben brings the ball down, he's giving the ball up to one of the guards.
Yeah, they do a dribble handoff. Everybody does it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But he does it a lot more, especially after Boston exposed him in the playoffs, where they just backed off of him and played those passing lanes. After that, it kind of disrupted him. His mental wasn't there, it felt like, and he leaned more into that. When there's times where he can come down on the break and just attack, or when there's more movement and he can attack, then he does a great job. But I think that the guys we have are decent enough to be able to allow Ben and Embiid to just like really dominate in the paint, because if we were able to do that, there wouldn't be anybody that would be able to stop him. Those guys would both have double digits.
Well, I mean, listen, and you know what, Corey, thanks so much, man. We really appreciate it. I'm going to write that down because we're going to take this quick break. Come right back. Your Bruce, Dame, Will, Tony, Josh, and one open phone line. We appreciate the phone call and speak about that with Ben Simmons playing at that fourth spot. Because guess what? There were plenty of times last night where he was not bringing the ball up, initiating things as the ball was inbounded. 610-632-0975, one open phone line. Biggest positive, biggest disappointment in your expectation for the second half of the season with the 27 games remaining after the All-Star break. 610-632-0975. Devon Gibbons with you until 10. We're here on The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
649-97.5 The Fanatic. Connor Thomas producing the show. I'm Devon Givens, 610-632-0975. So, just real fast before we get back to the phones, briefly answering the question about Ben Simmons playing the four position that many people speak about. When he got to the league, they drafted him out of LSU. He was going to be a four man. A couple of weeks later, as they had rookie camp and summer league training camp, as they got ready to go to Las Vegas, Brett Brown came out and said, we're going to give the ball to Ben. He's going to be our point guard. And there you have it. I never really liked it. Yes, he can do all this stuff, catching the ball off the rim, pushing the pace and transition, getting the guys in their spots, getting these looks, so on and so forth. I continue to say, forget about the outside shooting. The man is a basketball player. A couple of years ago, all we kept talking about, it was like 3 years ago, all we kept talking about, positionless basketball. Period. Positionless basketball. Joel Embiid is a center. In this case, Al Horford is a power forward. Everyone else, wings. Josh Richardson can handle the ball. Tobias Harris can handle the ball. Ben Simmons can handle the ball. He may be better in terms of dribbling the basketball, but they can all do it. And what do they do when they come across court? Not just the Sixers, but everyone else. All they do is when you get across half court, you come up, you hand it off, dribble handoff, you stand there, you set your screen for your man to do whatever he has to do, you roll. If that doesn't work, you're going to the left side, down screen there, for Ben Simmons down screening on Joel Embiid's man, try to get a cross match there. He slides over, maybe has a little bit of an advantage. You give him the rock. He gets a deep post position. He's fouled or he gets a layup and or both. That's what they do. And of course, you have the other stuff, the dribble handoffs that they had with J.J. Redick, with Joel Embiid and all that. Ben Simmons is a basketball player. I don't pigeonhole him anymore as a point guard or a power forward because he's 6'10". He can do all of these things minus the shooting. He is a basketball player. So, last night, Josh Richardson brought the ball up a few times. We saw other times where, I can't even remember off the top of my head, Furkan Korkmaz was bringing the ball up against the Chicago Bulls. The same thing. Ben will have it a majority of the time when he's initiating things and bringing the ball up after the ball comes, you know, inbounded, and they go up the floor and they do what they have to do. He is a basketball player. Yes, he is a point guard in title, because that's what Brett Brown has him listed as. He is a guard. I just look at him as a basketball player, and you go from there. There are plenty of players like that. They want to be as versatile as possible. What do they do now in the All-Star game? They don't even say centers anymore. When you do the All-Star game voting, it's guards and front court. Okay? Guards and front court. We looked at this team. Man, they're crazy big. They're unique. they're unique because they have this guy who they say is a 6'10 point guard because he has the ball in his hands the majority of the time and sets things up. Can snatch the ball off the rim, push the pace in transition, and create havoc in that way as well. That's just how I look at it. And Connor, we'll get to you as we go on, but we're going to go to Bruce in the Northeast. You agree? All right. Bruce in the Northeast next in the Fanatic. What's up, Bruce?
Hey, Devon, good evening. How you doing?
I'm doing all right, man. How are you?
Good. So good. My biggest surprise, or that first one you said, was last night. I think the Sixers bought it for 60 minutes, offense, defense, and I think the play of the, you know, the role plays and the substitutions, I think, were really good, and they play with a lot of energy, and I want to see them continue that, you know, going forward from what I saw last night.
Yeah, I think, and it's funny because me and Mike were talking about this as we were, you know, coming in and out here to the studio. I totally agree with you, man, that we were talking about how that was a really good game from front to back for this basketball team where we've seen it only a few times this season. As much as they've dominated 25-2 at home, that performance last night is really what you want to see from them, not only at home but on the road.
Yeah, and that's a good positive for me. The disappointment for me is Joel Embiid. I mean, for the unique set of skills that he has and the size and power that he is, I'd like to see him be more consistent night in, night out.
Okay. I'm not mad at that. I'm not mad at that because we've seen where he's been up, he's been down.
Yep.
He's been disappointing, as you say. The fact that he had a zero-point game against the Toronto Raptors and all the minutes that he was out there on the floor, unacceptable type of thing. Yeah. And the numbers, listen, he's 23 and I think 12 right now on the season where we're accustomed to 27, 13, 2.5 blocks.
Right.
But his assist numbers are up a little bit more. The ball has to be moved around to other people much more where you have the scoring with Josh Richardson putting the ball on the floor doing his thing, which is different from J.J. Redick where he's more reliant on someone like Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons and so on and so forth. So as long as he is able to put up those dominant numbers in the postseason and be dominant where he's drawing that much attention, Bruce, from the opposition where they have to double team him and he makes the smart pass out of the double team and all that, I'm okay with where he is. But you're right, with 23 games left, getting ready for the postseason, they have talked about it so much that he has to be healthy and ready for the postseason. That's where, Bruce, to your point, we need the best of Joel Embiid.
Yeah, and my last point is I want to see them put together like a streak of 9, 10, 11 games
absolutely
in a row winning. I want to see them put that win streak. That's the biggest thing in that second half.
Everyone else has done it. Everyone. Milwaukee has done it. Boston, Toronto, Indiana. You know, everyone else has done it but the Sixers. They have, they've had a 5-game winning streak, and that's the most that they've had.
And that's the most that they had, and that's disappointing considering, what every other team has done.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Listen, thanks so much, Bruce. Did you have an all-star moment before we let you go?
Yes. Larry Bird's three-pointer, 1988.
Yeah, when he put the finger up and told everybody, I'm going to walk off right here. That's right, from the left wing. Thanks so much, Bruce, from the left short corner, pardon me, where he dropped that one in, put his finger up as he shot the money ball and walked off. Larry Bird, hate the Celtics. 610-632-0975, but you respect the man. You respect that craft right there. I wish I could do that, man. It's tough. We do it at the Sixers Media Day, and it is tough. We don't even move from the rack. You just three corners, do what you do, you know, the media game and all that stuff is fun. 610-632-0975. Dame, Will, Tony, Josh, we start with you guys on the other side. Give you all your time. We have 25 minutes commercial free, so we'll let you guys run things when we get back on the other side. 610-632-0975. Two open phone lines if you want to jump in. You've been trying. It's been busy. Now's your chance to get in. We're here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.